What does the Bible have to say about the things that we eat? It says, glorify God in whatever you drink, but also whatever you eat. And so, what does the Bible say about the things that we eat? Is God concerned with the things that we put in our mouth? Notice what the Bible says in the book of Exodus, chapter 15 and verse 26. Exodus 15, 26 is a beautiful promise. Notice what it says. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments, here's the promise. I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that does what? So God says, if you listen and obey my commandments and my laws, I will spare you from the diseases that killed the Egyptians, and I will bring healing to your physical body. This is a beautiful promise. Can you say amen? Now, friends, when we disobey and ignore the voice of God, it will result in suffering the diseases of Egypt. Well, friends, what were some of the things that the Egyptians died from? There was some medical science that did some autopsies on the ancient mummies of Egypt, and they found that the Egyptians back in biblical times were dying from some of the same things that Americans are dying of today. Like what? They found that they were dying of high blood pressure. Does that sound familiar? Heart disease, hypertension, cancer, arthritis, diabetes, obesity, and STDs. These were the diseases that took the Egyptians, and God promised in his word, if you listen to me and obey my health principles, I will spare you from all these things, and I will bring healing to your physical body. Friends, how many of you would like to live a life free from all these things? Would you like to live that type of life? Friends, if when we know God's principles, the Lord can bring healing and get us off of medication. He can take away type 2 diabetes, friends. He can heal a person of cancer. These things are things that are not necessary for us to suffer, especially based on the principles that God has revealed to us. And so I want you to notice, what about the things that we eat? Notice God's original diet for the human race. It's found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29. Write it down. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1:29 that God gave to the human race food for their bodies. And it was a diet that included fresh fruits, nuts, grains, and later on, vegetables. In other words, right here, friends, is the Edenic diet, God's original diet for the human race. But then we read in Genesis chapter 6, when God destroyed the world with a flood, all the vegetation of the earth was destroyed. And so it was only after the flood that came as a result of sin that God then gave man permission to eat flesh foods. It wasn't his original or ideal plan. It was a plan that came because of sin that brought about a worldwide flood that destroyed all of the vegetation. And so after the flood, man now is given permission to eat flesh foods. But I want you to notice, God gave us specific instructions on which animals were permitted for us to eat. Notice what it says in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 2. Write it down. This is back in Noah's time, way before the time of Moses, way before the Levitical law was given, way before a Jew ever existed. And so, friends, we can't just say this is just for the Jews, because this is way back in Noah's time. Genesis 7:2 says, you shall take with you seven of every what? Clean animal, a male and his female, and two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Here we find, way before a Jew existed, God made a distinction in the animals. He said some animals were clean and some animals were unclean. And Noah was to take seven of the clean animals, but of the unclean, only two. And the reason why God said take seven clean is because of the flood that destroyed the vegetation, man would have to eat those clean animals, but not the unclean, that only came in by two. And so some of you might be wondering, well, why were some animals unclean? These unclean animals God created not for man to eat, but rather to be scavengers to clean up all the waste of the earth. In other words, these unclean animals were to be living garbage disposals, in other words, not for us to eat, but to clean up the waste of the earth. But the clean animals, now God said, you are able and permitted to eat of it. And friends, in giving man permission to eat the clean animals, he then later gave us specific instructions on how to prepare the meat. Notice in Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 17, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither, what two things? Fat nor what? Blood. So God says, if you eat the clean animals, don't eat any of the fat or any of the blood. And friends, if you're hearing this for the first time and are tempted to be disappointed, let me tell you, I know exactly how you feel, because I used to order my steak medium rare, all bloody, and I'd take the bread and wipe up all the blood and eat the fat. Oh, it was so tasty. I loved it, friends. And so if you're hearing this for the first time, I know how you feel. Don't worry. I'm with you, friends. I've been there. But friends, why was it that God said don't eat the fat or the blood? Think about it. All the impurities, toxins, and diseases are in the fat and the blood. God said don't eat it. Why? Because he loves us and he cares about us and he does not want us to get sick. You see, God always has our best interest in mind. Can you say amen? And so what the Hebrews would do, they would cut away and they would burn off all the fat. And they would put the meat into different salts and solutions to drain it of all of its blood. It was kosher meat. It was okay to eat in that case. And so here we find God's original diet. His original plan for the human race was a vegetarian, a fruitarian diet, a diet of the best and purest foods on earth. But Satan's counter diet that destroys the body is a diet that includes unclean meats and even clean meats that have fat and blood that is still in it. So notice with me, the next question is this. What meats or animals are clean and what animals are unclean? Notice what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. Please write it down. Leviticus 11, 2 and 3, the Bible says, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, whatsoever does what? Divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud that you may eat. And so two requirements in order for an animal to be considered clean. It has to have a cloven or divided hoof, and it has to chew the cud. What does that mean? That means it has a complex digestive system. It eats vegetables and has a very complex digestive system. And so what animals would be clean under this requirement? Well, the cow would be a clean animal because it does chew the cud and it does have a cloven hoof. Not only that, but sheep, deer, oxen, these are animals that are clean animals. As long as you cut away all the fat and drain it of all of its blood, these are animals that are permissible for man to eat. If that's clear, would you please say amen? So then what animals are unclean? Well, any animal that does not have those two requirements. Animals that don't have a cloven hoof nor chews the cud. What animals are these? Notice now in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 7. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of them that chew the cud or of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel. I'm sorry, friends. No more camel burgers, all right? And not only the camel, but the hare. That's the rabbit. No more rabbit stew. It's unclean. And the coney. That's a rock's hyrax. It's a rodent. For they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof. Therefore, they are unclean unto you. What else is unclean? And the swine. I'm sorry, friends. There goes Miss Piggy. The Bible is clear. And the swine. Because it divides the hoof, yet chews not the cud. It is unclean unto you. You shall not eat. Listen, friends, listen, don't get distracted. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. God says, don't eat it. Don't even touch it when it's dead. And the reason why God said not to eat of the swine, which is what? Pork, ham, bacon, lard in the beans. The reason why God said don't eat of these things, because friends, what is the pig? The pig is a scavenger. The pig eats anything. That's why they call it a pig. Can you say amen? The pig eats garbage. It will even eat its own feces if there's nothing else to eat. And friends, listen, listen. When you eat the pig, you're eating what it's eating, but you're getting it secondhand. And you know what they say? You are what you eat, right? And friends, if you're hearing this for the first time and are disappointed, let me tell you, I understand, because I grew up eating Kahlua pork and cabbage. Pork lao lao, oh, that is so good. It's tasty, friends. And when I first heard this, I was tempted to be disappointed. But remember, friends, does God know what's best for us? Absolutely, yes. And friends, if the pig was good for us, he would have freely given it to us. Because the Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And friends, just because it tastes good does not mean that it is good. And by the way, friends, do you know why the pig tastes so good? Do you know why? Because the pig, as well as with other animals, they don't have pores to sweat. Now, friends, whenever we sweat, the process of perspiration, we're releasing all the impurities and toxins from our body. Isn't that right? To perspire is a good thing. We're releasing all the impurities. And friends, the pig, as well as other animals, they don't have pores to sweat out the impurities. It stays all within. And friends, have you ever tasted sweat before? It has some flavor, doesn't it? Has a little bit of seasoning, right? And all of that seasoning is not released, all the impurities that are released, it only comes out when you put it on the frying pan. And then all the impurities begin to ooze right out. Friends, no wonder why it tastes so good. But friends, it is filth. It is a dirty animal that God says don't eat and don't even touch it when it's dead. And friends, you don't have to let a preacher tell you this. Modern medical secular science will tell us the exact same thing. It is a known fact that swine is the carrier of many diseases. The pig's meat is located with live trichinal worms. And that's why they say you make sure that you cook it well done. In fact, do you remember the story in the news about that lady in Arizona that ate some pork that was not fully cooked? And then she started having problems in her brain. And the people thought that it was a brain tumor. But friends, guess what it was in her brain? It was worms. I want to show you this. Notice. Listen carefully.
Working, knowing this is the most dangerous spot in the human body to work next to, the brainstem.
Here's the lump. And at this point, it still looks like a brain tumor. And so we're just opening up into the inside.
And then the unexpected. No tumor, instead a worm. Watch as Dr. Nakaji grabs the worm and gently tugs it out of Rosemary's brain. It's still alive. You don't hear him on the tape, but Nakaji actually chuckles.
Which I'm sure is a very strange response for the people in the operating room, but because I was so pleased to know that it wasn't going to be something terrible.
This worm comes from eating undercooked pork, but more frighteningly, it can be spread by people who have the parasite in their bodies and don't wash their hands well after using the bathroom.
A worm in the brain, friends, I don't want to have any worms in my brain, amen? And no wonder why God said, don't eat it and don't even touch it. Friends, it does taste good, but it is not good for us. And friends, do you trust your maker tonight? You're not disappointed, are you? God is more important than pig meat, isn't that right? And so this is not good for us, so that we can easily surrender it to Jesus tonight. Can you say amen? God knows what's best. Remember, friends, this is not bad news. It's called the everlasting gospel, which means good news. Can you say amen? The next question is this. Well, what about creatures of the sea? What about seafood? What kind of things from the ocean can we eat? Friends, are you ready for more? Some of you didn't say anything when I asked that question. Are you ready for more? Are you sure? Well, let's see what the Bible tells us about the creatures of the sea. Notice what it says in the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. These you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatsoever in the water has what two things? Fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. And so you can eat anything in the waters, in the oceans, in the lakes, as long as it has two things, fins and scales. So that's most fish. But anything that does not have both fins and scales would be an unclean animal, a scavenger that God says don't eat at all. And friends, what are some things in the oceans that don't have fins and scales? Crab, lobster, octopus, shrimp, shark because they have fins but no scales, catfish because they have fins but no scales, crustaceans. And friends, if you're hearing this for the first time and are feeling disappointed, let me tell you, I know how you feel. Because I was brought up in these islands as well, and I lived off of everything in the ocean. I used to love garlic shrimp, and I used to love taking the lobster tail and dipping it in the garlic butter and eat the whole thing and suck the meat right out of the crab's legs and eating the oysters. Oh, I gorge and all of these things. I know how you feel, friends. I've been there. But when you think about it, put aside your own feelings and your taste buds for a moment and just think logically. Why did God say not to eat of all these things, especially when they taste so good? What is the bottom denominator? What is the common thing that they have? They are all scavengers. God created them not for us to eat, but He created them to clean up all the dead things that float to the bottom of the ocean. They are bottom feeders. You see, shrimp as well as clams and oysters are natural water filters. Do you know what they eat? Do you know what they eat? They eat, I can't even say it. They eat the waste, friends. And when you eat that, you're eating what they're eating, but you're getting it secondhand. And friends, it didn't sound good the first time, did it? And why would anyone want to eat a shrimp? Friends, do you know what shrimp are? Shrimp are the cockroaches of the sea. That's what they are. They are called the sea roaches. And roaches are called Land shrimp. Why would you want to eat that? And by the way, friends, if you're getting grossed out tonight, good! So that you can see that God's word makes logical sense. Can you say amen? I want you to notice what Prevention Magazine said. Shellfish are dirty and dangerous. They're filled with pollution, friends. You don't want to eat these types of things. And so how many of you are thankful that God gave us these principles to protect us from all of these things? Are you thankful for this tonight? Some of you may not be thankful right now, but let me tell you, you're going to be thankful. Some of you are perhaps feel disappointed, but friends, God's word makes sense. Are you ready for more? All right. What about the creatures of the air? What does the Bible say about the birds? What in the bird kingdom can we eat? Well, friends, you can write it down and read it when you get home. In Leviticus chapter 11, verses 13 through 19, God basically tells us that any bird that is a scavenger bird, like vultures, or any bird that is a bird of prey, like eagles and falcons and whatnot, scavenger birds and predatorial birds of prey are considered unclean birds, not something that we should eat at all. And so you wouldn't want to eat a bald eagle. Can you say amen? That's an unclean animal. Not only that, but you'll get thrown in jail if you try to do that. And you wouldn't want to eat a vulture as well. Just looking at it makes me disgusted. And so birds that are not scavenger birds and birds of prey are clean. And so what birds would these be? Would these be chicken, quail, turkey? These are clean animals, permissible for man to eat. And some of you, after hearing that, you're like, shh, praise the Lord. So we see, friends, that there are actually three types of diets in the Bible. We find a prohibited diet, a diet that includes unclean animals or even animals that are clean, that have fat and blood still in it. And then you have the permissible diet, clean animals without the fat and the blood. And then you have God's perfect diet, a diet that excludes animals altogether, a vegetarian diet. This, my friends, is God's original plan, the safest and the tastiest and the best food on planet Earth. Can you say amen?
You see, friends, as we learn the principles of God and His plan for good health, and as we seek to apply them to our lives, it's important for us to make sure that we're patient with ourselves and especially patient with one another. Can you say amen? And even if we have the perfect diet, this should never make us proud, because there's going to be many people who are healthy that are going to be lost. So you may have a perfect diet. You may be a vegan, but maybe you need to get more exercise. Maybe you need to drink more water. Maybe you need to get better rest. Maybe you have to stop stressing out so much. You see, what is the biggest room in your house? It's not the kitchen. It's room for improvement. Amen? And so no matter what level we are in our spiritual walk, in the aspect of health especially, we can always come up higher. And that is what I believe that God is calling us to do. Can you say amen? Always drawing closer, going deeper, and allowing Him to lift us higher. And so as we make these changes, remember, be patient with yourself. Some people can do everything overnight. Others, most people, it requires a process of growth and adjusting to a new lifestyle, a better lifestyle, a healthier and happier lifestyle. Can you say amen?
But friends, God wants the very best for us. And when it comes to the clean and unclean meats, this is not an optional thing for those who are trying to glorify God. Because notice how strongly God feels about this in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man do what? Defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Friends, this is not optional for the one that is seeking to glorify God. The Bible tells us that if we defile His temple, we're going to be destroyed, friends. This is a serious matter. Now, friends, let me make something clear tonight. We are not saved by what we eat and drink. Can you say amen? No one can eat their way into the kingdom of heaven. We are saved only by the grace of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? But friends, listen, while we are saved by grace and grace alone, God is serious about ignoring His plans. When we ignore His plans, He said that we will be destroyed as a result of it. And so, as we continue tonight, I want to encourage you, friends, as you've learned these principles tonight, ask God for the grace and the love for Him to help you apply it to your life right away so that he can bring healing to your physical body, so that he can give you a clear mind, a healthy body, and a mind that is able to hear his voice more clearly. Now, friends, when I first heard this, I was tempted to be disappointed because I ate everything under the sun. You name it, I probably ate it. And it was hard at first, but I made a decision. It made sense. It was biblical. And I said, Lord, okay, if this is your will, if this is your plan for my life, then I'm gonna stop eating unclean animals. And I just started eating clean animals. And I found myself having a lot more energy. I found my mind becoming a lot more clear. And things started getting better. I could notice a difference, even just excluding the unclean animals. And then I was just doing that for a few years, and then I felt the Lord calling me to come up even higher in my experience, because, friends, we should never stay on the same level spiritually. And I realized that even some of the clean animals are becoming more and more unsafe to eat in our day and age with the pollution and the diseases of our world. Have you noticed in recent years that that even the clean animals are becoming unsafe, having diseases like mad cow disease? And by the way, friends, I would be mad too if you tried to eat me. We have mad cow disease and the bird flu and all of these things. You see, friends, let me give you a good recommendation. At least you ought to pray about it. You can take it or leave it, but at least pray about it. I want to highly recommend that you consider praying about becoming vegetarian, because even the clean animals are dangerous today. Now, you can take that or leave it, but at least pray about it. And some of you, and so I was eating the clean animals for a while. Then I switched over and became a vegetarian about 10 years ago. And man, I felt a huge difference when I made that change. I started having a lot more energy. My mind was so much clearer. I was able to understand the deep prophecies of the Word of God. And friends, I don't miss meat at all. And some of you are looking at me and you're saying to yourself, no wonder why he's so skinny. Well, friends, listen, I was this slender when I was eating everything else. You see, I eat a lot. It just goes in and out. I have a lightning fast metabolism. I get it from my parents. So I was like this when I was eating everything else. But let me tell you, friends, in my house, I eat like a king. I eat like a king. My wife is one of the best vegetarian cooks I know, and she hooks it up, friends. It's healthy, it's tasty, it's filling. And I remember one time, you know, I said, I eat like a king to my friend who had just gotten married, and he said, oh, yeah? Well, I eat like a god in my house. I eat like a god. I get burnt offerings every morning. You see, brothers and sisters, God knows what's best for us. Can you say amen? And so we need to take steps in this area of our lives. And by the way, friends, when you understand what's happening in the meat industry, you're not going to want to support it. The cruelty that is being practiced against the animals is satanic, friends. I want you to look up this website when you go home. Write it down. www.meetyourmeat.com. Go to that website and check out the meat in the meat industry today. It is satanic, friends, what is taking place. The cruelty to the creatures that God has made. You see, friends, there's a lot of vegetarian options. And friends, the same God that can change your heart can also change your taste buds. Can you say amen? And when you can get victory over your palate, over your taste buds, you've won a most powerful victory in your life. Food has such a strong hold on us, doesn't it? And no wonder why Satan's first temptation to Jesus in the wilderness of temptation, his first temptation was on the issue of appetite. Because Satan knows that appetite has a strong hold upon us as humans. Satan said, if you're the Son of God, turn the stones to bread. But Jesus gained the victory over the appetite by the Word of God, and we can gain the victory as well. Can you say amen? Now, friends, let's put this in the context. Why is this important again? Because remember, the healthier the body, the clearer the mind. The clearer the mind, the more distinct the voice of God. And friends, I want to hear his voice a lot more clearer. How about you? I want you to notice another example in the book of Daniel, chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel and his friends are symbols of those who are going to live in the last days. And when they were brought into Babylonian captivity as slaves, the first test that they had to pass was the test on diet. Notice the king tried to change their diet, giving them unclean meats and alcoholic wine. And notice what Daniel said and his friends. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, friends, Daniel asked for water and vegetables instead of this unclean meat and wine. But he did this as a slave. Friends, slaves don't have choices, right? But even in this situation, Daniel purposed, he made a decision and a resolution in his heart that he would not take anything in God's temple that would defile his body. This was the test that he passed. And by the way, after a period of time, Daniel and his three friends were examined compared to the rest of the wise men of Babylon who did eat the meat and drank the wine. And they found that Daniel and his three friends, because of the different diet that they had and their trust and faith in God, they were found to be 10 times wiser than the rest of the wise men of Babylon. How many of you like to be 10 times wiser? And because of that, you go to Daniel chapter 2, and God is now able to entrust Daniel with understanding of prophetic visions and dreams. Do you see how the physical, overcoming that, enabled him to be blessed in a spiritual way? And friends, if this is clear, would you please say amen? Now, some of you might be wondering, well, I thought that the health laws were done away with at the cross. Didn't Jesus come to do it with these health principles? That you will not find that in the Bible, friends. Jesus came to get rid of the ceremonial laws that pointed to him. But these health principles were a totally separate law given to us simply to protect us from the diseases and the pollutions and the things of this world. Jesus did not come to clean pigs. He came to cleanse sinners. Can you say amen? And so the health laws were not done away with at the cross. But some people say, well, didn't God tell Peter not to call any food common or unclean? You remember in Acts chapter 10, Peter had a vision. And in this vision, he saw a sheet descending from heaven, filled with all kind of unclean animals. Then God said to Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter said, I've never eaten anything unclean. And God says, what I have cleansed, you must not call common or unclean. And people read this surfacely, and they start to get excited, thinking that they can eat whatever they want to eat. But friends, that Peter understood that this was not literal. This was a symbolic vision. Well, what did it mean? Notice, Peter understood it. In Acts chapter 10, verse 28, Peter said, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or go with one of another what? Nation. You see, friends, in the Jewish mindset, they looked upon all the other nations, the Gentile nations, as unclean nations. Unclean. Then he says, but God has shown me that I should not call any what? Man common or unclean. In other words, those beasts represent nations. You remember in Bible prophecy? What does a beast represent? A kingdom. So these unclean beasts represented unclean kingdoms, the Gentile kingdoms, and God was telling Peter, you need to preach the gospel to them. They're not unclean. They need to hear the good news of Jesus and the resurrection. And so in no way was God eliminating the health principles. The point of the vision was that we are all one in Christ, that it's not about race, it's about grace. Can you say amen? Now, some people say, well, didn't Jesus tell us that it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of the man? That's true. Jesus did say that, but he wasn't saying that we can eat whatever we want to eat, because try drinking Clorox, friends, and see if that's going to defile you. Do you understand? So people are taking this to the extreme. And once again, when you read the context, you can understand what Jesus was saying. He was speaking this to the Pharisees, which were self-righteous, proud hypocrites. And the Pharisees believed that it was a sin to eat food that was prepared by Gentile hands. And they also believed that if they ate food without washing their hands first, that they would be defiled by that food. Jesus is not getting rid of the health principles. He is rebuking that self-righteous hypocrisy, thinking that they're better than the other nations. That's what he's dealing with. He's saying, you're not defiled by eating food by other nations. You are already defiled because you think that you're better than other people because of your pride and hypocrisy. That's what Jesus meant when he said that it's not what goes in, but what comes out of a man that defiles him. And if that makes sense, would you please say amen? And so we see our bodies belong to Christ. And God calls us to honor him and glorify him in the things that we eat and drink and everything we do. And I want to do that. How about you? By the grace of God. Now, friends, before we close, let's look at a few more areas of our lives that God wants to bless us. Not only do our bodies belong to him, but so do all of our possessions belong to Christ. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. All the money you have or ever had belongs to the Lord. And he calls us to be stewards over what he has entrusted into us. But some people say, this is my money. I worked hard for it. I put in the hours, the sweat. And friends, I'm going to use this money however I want to use it. That's what many people say. But friends, does the money belong to us? Notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. The Bible says, and you shall remember. You shall what? Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. In other words, God gave you life. He gave you strength. He gave you power to go to work, to earn a livelihood, to provide for your family. And God says, you need to remember that I gave you life that enabled you to make a living. And so to help us not forget that He is the source of every good thing, God in His Word has given us the tithing institution where He asks us and commands us to return to Him a tithe of all of our increase. And friends, what is a tithe? It's simply 10%. In other words, if you make $1,000, how much of that belongs to God? Not $100, friends. If you make $1,000, $1,000 belongs to God. Can you say amen? It all belongs to Him. It's His. But how much does He want us to return to Him? That's what you thought I said. He wants to, a tithe of 1,000 is how much? Is 100, friends. That's very generous, isn't it? God gives us 90%. He said 90% is yours. Just return 10%. And by doing this, we're acknowledging that God is our sustainer and our provider, and that every good thing we have comes from Him. And it also helps us overcome selfishness and covetousness. And what it does, it makes it a blessing to others, and it furthers the work of God. And God has given to us a rich promise in His Word to those who are faithful in their finances. Notice in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And by the way, the storehouse is the church. In other words, we can't just use it however we want to use it. The storehouse is the church. Bring it to the church, the storehouse, that there may be food in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see, God has promised us a rich blessing to those who are faithful in their finances. But some people say that they have so much bills. They're so weighed down with debt. They say, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to return to God 10%. Well, friends, let me tell you. You can't afford not to tithe. You cannot afford to live one day without the blessing of God. You see, in man's wisdom, 10 is big. But in God's word, 9 is bigger than 10. We may not be able to explain it, but we can experience it. Can you say amen? And notice the blessing that God promises in Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the last fruits. Is that what it says? Do we give God the leftovers after we pay all the bills, then we give whatever is left? No, we give God the first fruits. You see, God comes before the government, friends, before family, before anything else. We give Him the first fruits of all our increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And so God wants to bless us physically. He also wants to bless us financially as we're faithful to Him in taking care of this body and the possessions that He's entrusted to us. And another way that God wants to bless us emotionally and socially, He has given to us the sacred covenant of the marriage institution. You see, God's plan is for us to save ourselves physically, but also emotionally for the one that God is saving for us. You see, friends, marriage is the foundation of the family. Family is the foundation of the church. The church is the foundation of society. So Satan is trying to destroy and corrupt society by destroying the church. And he tries to destroy the church by destroying the families in the church. And he destroys the families in the church by destroying the very foundation of it all, which is the sacred marriage covenant. And how does he do this? By tempting individuals to partake in sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, divorce, and sexual perversions. But God's plan, friends, is a lot better. God's plan is that He wants to have happy homes, happy marriages, and happy lives. And friends, I wasn't always a Christian. Before I found Christ, I made many mistakes in the realm of relationships with the opposite sex. But I'm so grateful that Jesus gave me a new beginning. Can you say amen? He cleansed my past, and He gave me victory in the present. And only after I found Jesus did He then bring me to the one that was to be my wife. We've been married almost 8 years now. This is us on our wedding day. And we were so happy, friends. And by God's grace, we followed God's plan. The best we knew. We kept ourselves pure. The best we knew. And friends, as a result of the foundation being the love of Jesus, when the storms of conflict and disagreement come, the house of our marriage still stands firm because it's founded upon the solid rock, not infatuation and lust, but the love of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? with Jesus in the family, happy, happy home. With Jesus in the vessel of your marriage, you can smile at the storm, the song says. How many of you want to have a happy marriage? God wants to bless us emotionally and socially when we honor Him in our relationships with others. But friends, perhaps you feel like you've gone too far. Maybe you've already made mistakes in this area. Maybe you've given yourself away to someone that is not your husband or not your wife, and you feel so dirty, you feel like it's too late. Oh, friends, the blood of Jesus is the Clorox to cleanse every stain of sin upon the garment of your life. He can give you a clean slate tonight. He can make you a pure virgin once again. If you've gone through a devastating divorce, God can give you the ability to let go of the past and move forward to learn to love and trust again. Our God, friends, is in the business of restoration. Can you say amen? And so we've discovered tonight very practical things of how God wants to bless us physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, financially, as well as spiritually. But friends, we have to surrender and we have to follow. We have to listen to the things that God has revealed to us. And friends, here's the good news. God never takes away something from us without replacing it with something better. Amen? You can trust God, friends. He's only trying to take away the things that are not good so that He can give us something that is far better in place of it. And so tonight, what is your response? You're not disappointed, are you? It's good news, friends. God loves you. And He has a better plan, a better life for you to live. He wants to postpone your funeral. He wants to add years of abundance and fulfillment to your life. He wants to spare you from sickness and pain and disease. And only as we apply and follow these principles can we obtain the blessing of Jesus. And friends, what is the motivating power that enables us to stop eating things that are not good? What is the motivating power that enables us to honor God with a faithful tithe and to trust Him with a tithe and an offering? It's only the love of Jesus, friends. My last verse, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 says, for the love of Christ does what? Compels us. Friends, that word compel, it means it pushes us forward. It helps us to move forward to do the things that we ought to do. But that word compel also means constrains. That word constrain means it holds us back from doing the things that we want to do that are not good. It moves us forward and it holds us back, friends. It's the love, not the fear of hell, and not the reward of heaven, but only the love of Jesus can enable us to glorify Him in all things. The love of Christ compels us, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Friends, listen, the message you've just heard is only for those who love Jesus. If you try to do these things without love for Jesus, you're probably going to be miserable. You're going to be unhappy. It's going to be legalistic bondage if you do it without love for Jesus. But friends, when you love Jesus, you want to do the things that please Jesus. When you love Jesus because He first loved you, you want to glorify Him in every single aspect of your life. You want to say, Lord, I want You to be in control of my life. I want You to be the God of my refrigerator, the God of my bank account, the God of my marriage and my relationships, the God of my time, the God of my talents, the God of my resources. Friends, either Jesus is Lord of all or not Lord at all. And because He gave His all for us on Calvary's cross, how many want to say, Lord, I surrender all to You? Remember, friends, we do this in light of God's mercy. We do this because we were bought with a price. Therefore, it's a natural response, friends. It's a response of love in the love that Jesus has revealed to us. Jackie's going to sing a closing song. I invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and listen to the message of this song.
Down. He Father put aside his royal crown. He surrendered all. He surrendered all for you and your salvation. He surrendered all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior.
Tonight, he surrendered all. Therefore, I surrender all. In light of what God has done, because I'm bought with a price, God, I surrender all to you tonight. Is that your prayer? If so, I invite you to bow your heads as we close tonight. Thank you so much, Lord, for giving to us your word as a manual. Teaches us how we can postpone our funeral, how we can add years to our life, how we can live a life of abundance and health, happiness and satisfaction. Lord, as your followers, you want us to live. You want us to have the healthiest, happiest, and holiest lives we could ever live. And Father, it's not in us. It's only in Jesus. So we ask, Lord Jesus, you please come into our hearts now. We thank you that you paid an expensive price to purchase us. Because we're bought with a price, teach us what it means to glorify you in the things that we eat, the things that we drink, and whatever we do in our lives. May it give glory to God. We thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer. Bless us as we have dinner together and prepare us for the next presentation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.